My name is William George Zinth. I'm 8.5 years old, and I will be in third grade at Odyssey Elementary School this fall. I have been attending the fellowship since I was 4 years old. When Mom asked me what I wanted to share today, I said my number one belief is that I believe in science. I have a passion for science. I love it. I'm going to be an oceanographer when I grow up. I like science because I like thinking about big questions. Science helps us solve problems so we can make the world a better place. I believe in conservation of the earth, especially the oceans. I like that the fellowship has a green sanctuary team because I believe everyone has to help where they can. In our family, we try and bike or walk, which is fun and good for the earth. We also have a bee and butterfly garden to help pollinators and return native plants to our local ecosystem. In my backyard, we have 33 milkweed plants this summer. We just found our first caterpillars, and I started a nature journal to document their life cycle. In my RE classroom, there is a sign that says, "Everyone is number one." I think this means that everyone is important. No matter who you are important just being a person. I believe everybody has the right to choose who they are by listening to their own heart and mind. Mom showed me a sign at Reverend Christina's that says, "All bodies are whole, holy, and beautiful." I like that. I believe everyone should be free to be themselves and that everyone has the right to feel safe and loved. I believe it is important to be fair and peaceful. I believe that kindness matters. Kindness isn't always easy, like when my sister is bugging me or I'm having a rotten day, but we have to keep practicing so we get better and better at it. I believe it is important to be kind to others and to ourselves. I believe we can all make a difference in the world, even kids. I like coming to the fellowship because we talk about real problems and how to help. One of my favorite things at the fellowship is the greater good. I like that the adults trust the kids to make the decision, and I like hearing about important needs in our community. The fellowship is important to me, and I'm glad our family comes almost every Sunday. Thank you.
Nice job, man.
That's hard act to follow, I think. Hi, I'm Jean Kwaterski. I was raised in a different religious faith by two parents who were also raised in that same faith tradition by their parents. As the youngest of six children, I think I missed out on some of the education about our faith. As adults, my oldest siblings, who are 17 and 15 years older than me, are quite devout. But as you go through my next three siblings and me, that devotion gets less and less. I don't know if my parents got tired or expected it to just rub off. I was a curious child and would ask my dad questions about our faith. Why do we have to go to church every week? Why are only men priests? Why was there never a Polish pope? My dad was very proud to be Polish. He was quite excited when Pope John Paul II was elected and pointed out to me that we now had a Polish pope. My dad would usually answer my questions with, "That's just the way it is." I found this answer quite frustrating as a child, but I didn't hold it against my dad. Again, I think he was just tired. My mother was of a generation where she followed what her husband believed in. She would often tell us, "Ask your dad when he gets home." Or sometimes it was in the tone of, "Wait until your father gets home." As my mom got older, I would say something about heaven or seeing her mom when she dies, and she once said, "Oh, I don't know about that. I'm not sure that's true." So looking back, I was raised in a faith community, but I was questioning, and I didn't feel like I always had the answers. But my parents were really good people. They taught us good values: kindness, love, integrity, to take care of each other, the importance of education, volunteering, and making our community better. They lived the basic tenets of their faith. When we had children, my husband and I felt the need to raise our children in a faith tradition. He had also been raised in the same faith community as I had. We both agreed that we were looking for something different, something that more aligned with our values. Long story short, we found the fellowship and signed the book in 2001. Our sons went through religious education classes, the Our Whole Lives program, and the Coming of Age program. I would say both of them, now in their early 20s, identify as atheists at this point in their lives. I know they think fondly of the fellowship and appreciate the education and friendships they made here. When they come home, they still like to attend the fellowship with me. The fellowship has become a spiritual home to me, a home base. It's a place where I don't feel afraid to speak my mind, where I learn from others, where I feel nourished. I feel like I can comfortably stand behind our 7 guiding principles. So what do I believe? This has changed over the years. Being a mother, getting divorced, living on my own, beating breast cancer this past year, have all affected me and what I believe. And as we tell the youth in coming of age, what I believe today may change tomorrow. I believe in making this life the best life because it is probably the only one I will ever have. I believe in trying to live in the present and appreciating the small things, the chirping of a bird, the breeze coming through the window as I wrote this, the voice of my 2-year-old grandnephew singing in the back seat of the car, just hanging out with my sons and hearing them laugh. Oops. I swear the font's really big. It's really not that long. I believe I'm stronger than I thought I was a year ago or 4 years ago, and that friends and family will help you get through the tough times. I believe in doing what I can to leave this earth and my little corner of the world a better place. Education is so important. We need to work together. Social justice can't just be a phrase. It needs to be an action, a verb. To quote from the Hamilton musical, "History has its eyes on you." So looking back at what I learned from my parents' faith and values, kindness, love, integrity to take care of each other, the importance of education, volunteering, and making our community better, I have those beliefs, but I'm pursuing them in what I believe is a more inclusive and welcoming spiritual community. I'd like to close with a poem from one of my favorite collections of Mary Oliver, her book called Dog Songs. I also believe in the unselfish love of dogs. How it is with us and how it is with them. We become religious, then we turn from it. Then we are in need and maybe we turn back. We turn to making money, then we turn to the moral life. Then we think about money again. We meet wonderful people, but lose them in our busyness. We're, as the saying goes, all over the place. Steadfastness, it seems, is more about dogs than us. One of the reasons we love them so much. Thank you.
My name is David Valguth, and I was invited to share my journey today. And I've shared this before, but I put a little bit different twist on it. And I was born into a very conservative Lutheran family and grew up here in Appleton. And I was the youngest of 4 kids and was looking forward to following my sister's and my brother's footsteps as they went to religion every week and then public schools. And they were a lot older than I was, very successful people. They went to Wilson and West, but my parents had different plans for me and decided to enroll me in a parochial school and see if they can't have a pastor in the family. At first, I enjoyed my parochial school, meeting new classmates and having one teacher who taught all the subjects. After a few years, I developed friendships with kids that were in our neighborhood who went to the public and middle school just a few blocks away. And at the same time, I began questioning some of the teachings that were being given at my school. One time I was working on a science report and asked my mom, "This encyclopedia says that the Earth is millions of years old, but we're being taught in school that, you know, it's only a few thousand." And my mom responded, "Oh, David, just go with what they're teaching you in school." That was when I began to question things and wondered about the stories we were reading about. My classmates all just went along with it. I never felt like I belonged there. It wasn't what I grew up with. After over 7 years of going to school and church there, I had had enough and asked my parents to please let me transfer to Einstein, where all my friends from the neighborhood went, and to play some sports with better competition. They didn't argue with me much and let me transfer. 7 months later, I was in a diving mishap, and our church pastor told my parents it happened because God didn't want me to leave the school. This was penance for me, from me leaving. We then left that church altogether and rejoined a more liberal church. Regular attendance fell off, and then I was off to college where church wasn't much of a priority at all. 12 years later, we were back in Appleton and looking for a place to belong. We rejoined our church that we were members of when I left for college. Then a few years ago, they decided to end a very long-standing sponsorship of a Boy Scout troop that because the organization announced that they were going to allow LGBT as troop leaders. And that was it for me there. After a long search of asking area churches if they agreed with what my old church did, and all of them did, I decided to call the UU I frequently drive by as I live very close. It was so refreshing to find a place that said that type of attitude is exactly the thing that we do not represent here. We welcome everyone, regardless of where you came from. My first time through the door, coming to a service, there was Marie with a smile saying, "I don't think I've seen you here before. Is this your first time?" I said, "Yes, it was." And she replied, "We're happy you're here. Welcome." And that was 3 years ago. I feel I'm welcome here and have been given a chance to be as active as I want to be. So far, I've been a member of a journey group, attended the Wellspring Wednesdays, some weekend events, and I've been a worship leader here now for over a year. It was here that I learned what I was. I'm an agnostic, which is someone who feels that nothing is known or can be known for sure about the existence of a higher power. Here it's okay to question things, and I believe in things that can be scientifically proven. I'm glad I found this place and look forward to being a member here for a long time. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Amy Ongiri. Thanks for letting me share what I believe. In addition to being part of the fellowship, I follow a Rastafarian path. Rastafarianism means a lot of things to a lot of different people, but for me, it means a search for truth that is rooted in the liberation of all people. There's a complex simplicity in Rastafarianism. We strive to live in the world without causing harm to other living beings. Some people say that the only commandment that a Rastafarian must follow is to do good from the Psalms, or at least strive to do no harm. Consequently, many Rastafarians follow a vegetarian diet and choose not to drink alcohol. For me personally, one of the biggest challenges with Rastafarianism is the demand for pacifism. Rastafarians traditionally don't join the police or military or participate in any activity that encourages violence in any way. I personally have always liked rough sports such as boxing, and I played rugby all through high school and college. And to be perfectly, completely honest, I've been in more than a few fist fights. An anti-violence ethic did not and does not come naturally for me. So for me, there has been a long journey to experience pacifism beyond not just fighting, but also to think about the ways that violence permeates American culture, from the language that we use to describe everyday experience, that's a killer outfit or something like that, to the value placed on the destructive competition under capitalism. Rastafarianism is an African-centered faith that values the search for knowledge and the desire to make a positive impact in the world. It values family and community-making activities. I come from a large African family. I'm one of 10 kids, and I'm happy to recreate that in my own way on a smaller scale with my wife and 4 foster kids. From my description, you can probably understand why the UU would be a good fit for someone on a Rasta path. The 7 principles that form the core beliefs, the core UU beliefs are very foundational to how I live my life, especially principle number 1, the inherent worth and dignity of all people, and the 7th principle, the respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. When I lived in Florida, I had a Rasta friend that I really admired who would literally never harm even a spider if it was crawling across his arm. And you have to remember that this was in Florida, where the creepy crawlies can be quite unrelenting. He would carefully capture any insects, lizard, or frog in his house and gently release it outside his front door with a little prayer for its well-being. I strive for this level of reverence for all living beings. I also appreciate the fact that the UU affirms human sexuality, including homosexuality. It's important to me to have my children come to a place where they are not shamed for their bodies and are allowed to develop sexually in an environment that isn't punitive towards sex and sexual desire. I decided to join this particular fellowship as a member after I was invited to speak at a Pulse memorial service here in town. If you remember the Pulse shooting that happened in the Orlando gay nightclub in 2016. The memorial event was right after, I think the next day after the shooting, and I was really overcome with emotions, and I was almost unsure if I could even speak that day. Right before I was supposed to go on, I told the organizer that even though I had prepared some words for the event, I wasn't sure I could actually deliver it. But then I looked out in the audience, and I actually saw Terry Dawson, who I see right now, and I looked further, and I realized the audience was filled with people that I knew from the fellowship. And I knew that at that moment, I knew I could go ahead with my speech, and I did. That's when I knew for sure that this was my community, my spiritual home. I became a dues-paying, pledging member that week.